Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Unfortunately, reports coming through over the weekend, another shooting in Westbury, and residents in Westbury and surrounding areas today then decided to storm the Sophia Town police station following that fatal shooting. And we are told it is of a pharmacy owner, Faisal McKenzie, in nearby Newclear, who was gunned down in the store this afternoon. On the line with us is our reporter, Tanisa Phillips, who's been watching this story. Tanisa, thank you so much for giving us that update. I mean, what is going on? And what happened over the weekend in that area? All right, we've lost Tunisia. But unfortunately, what we are hearing is that community members are up in arms, and some of the things that have been happening there. We've been speaking about this gun violence in Eldorado Park, Westbury area, Newclear and so on. And we are told that the residents have decided now enough is enough, and they have gone to the Sophia Town police station. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to bring in the... let me see if Tunisia is back. Tunisia, let's see if this line can hold. Can you hear me? Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Camilo.
All right. Thank you so much for making time for us. Just give us the background on what happened over the weekend, Tanisha.
What we do know is that there were three shootings around the same location in Eldorado Park this weekend. At least two of the victims were only around the age of 18 years old. Another person was shot in Westbury. They said that he was just a passerby or a resident walking a pedestrian on the road. And one of the 18-year-olds in Eldorado Park this weekend did survive, but two unfortunately did succumb to their injuries. We know that, you know, Faisal McKenzie, a pharmacy owner, was shot inside the pharmacy of Westbury this afternoon, actually, while we were following up on this weekend's shootings. That shooting occurred. I was in Westbury just a few minutes ago. You know, the scene is surrounded by forensics. They're still combing the scene. There's a heavy contingent of the anti-gang unit, and we know that they've been beefed up with 200 additional deployees over the last 2 weeks, but it doesn't seem to be yielding much results. And what we do know is that residents are complaining about forensics capacity and detective capacity, because most of these cases are going cold, and, you know, quite a bit of community members complaining about SAPS's capacity to sort of follow up on evidence, follow up on eyewitness sort of testimonies, as well as witness protection, because many of the eyewitnesses are afraid to speak to SAPS. But what we're seeing is that, you know, scenes are not being combed correctly. They're not being cordoned off correctly. I was in Eldorado Park this weekend where the other two victims were shot and killed around the same location. And these are hotspots where, you know, almost weekly these young boys are being killed. And we also know that it has to do with continuing sort of drug turf war between two notorious gangs that have been sort of rivals for actually decades. And in the last few years, we've just seen an escalation sort of in the structure for that ongoing between Westbury, Eldorado Park, Rivoli, and those surrounding areas.
And so the police themselves, were you able to get a reaction from them this afternoon?
We've been struggling to get comment from SAPS this afternoon. They seem to have their hands full. They've deployed quite a bit of the anti-gang unit, but we've had no official statement yet from SAPS as to their official death toll or the number of incidents that they are investigating. We're continuing to trace them, and hopefully by tomorrow, when that 8 a.m. meeting, community meeting happens in Westbury, we'll get some feedback from them. We also know that the Gauteng Police Commissioner will be meeting with Westbury and Eldorado Park residents. That meeting is scheduled for Wednesday. We've had some messages that have been sort of leaked to Kaya News and communications with some of the police's top brass and their colleagues. But for now, that's what we know.
What's the mood like at the moment, Tanisha? You're saying you were around the area not so long ago, and you're saying there's a really a heavy presence of the anti-gang movement, unit. What is the mood like in the area this evening?
It's quite tense and somber because while the anti-gang unit is patrolling the area and residents are surrounding the scene while forensics are still combing the scene, there are individuals on every corner that, you know, residents also believe are sort of like spotters for the gangs, where they're watching who's speaking to the police. They are watching one of our biggest fears was that they're also watching which media people are in and out of the area. So it is quite a scary and tense situation at the moment. We've left the scene. We almost had to be escorted out there. We're a little bit afraid of driving around there. It doesn't feel safe at all, even in spite of the contingent of police surrounding the area.
Appreciate your time there, Tanisa Phillips, Kaya news reporter who's been in the area. And as she says, you know, it's really not safe at all. Listening into that conversation is community activist Chris Pretorius. Thank you so much, Mr. Pretorius, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for making time for us. Give us a sense of what is going on at the moment. I know that the community is really, really unhappy. You've been an activist in El Dorado Park for a while. Your sense of what is actually going on at the moment?
My sense of what is happening at the moment is that based on the social ills that we face, coupled with our the fact that we are economically disenfranchised is probably one of the main contributors when it comes to what we are dealing with at the moment. I feel as if we are on the brink of a war. And the unfortunate thing that we have right now is that no one seems to be prepared, whether it be government, whether it be corporate, to come on board and say, okay, fine, how is it that we can possibly, number one, assist with regards to eradicating some of the social ills that you deal with, and also government coming on board and saying to us, all right, we see what is happening, we feel your pain, how can we assist? Do you know who the killers are? Do we have witness protection that we can get witnesses into? So it's entirely a case of everybody being very lackadaisy around the fact that we are losing young men. Within 24 hours, we have lost, in two communities, we have lost 5 young men. And is that really what it boils down to? Historically disadvantaged kind of communities at this point are saying, okay, fine, how much more do we need to take before we then are eviscerated as... And that is what they are fighting for and standing up for at this point.
I'm told that some of these people that are gunned down literally are on hit lists that are posted by these gang leaders. And so people actually know who's going to be next. If the community is aware of that, isn't it a surprise that, you know, that they cannot be apprehended before the deaths happen? What is your sense of how all of that is going on?
It's definitely a surprise that they cannot be apprehended. We have had the anti-gang unit in our communities for years. I mean, this isn't our first rodeo when it comes to gang violence in communities such as El Dorado Park and Red River and Nuclear. So it's not the first time that the anti-gang unit has come in to say, okay, fine, what can we do? However, the problem that we have is that people, number one, live in fear. There is no witness protection. That's going to say, fine, come in. We will ensure that you and your family are kept safe. So people are afraid because they feel that they live in the same community as these criminals. So there's no one really taking care of them or looking after them. And if they are no longer there, who's going to look after their family? So it's a catch-22 situation for our communities at the moment, because if we are asking government for help and we are trying to clean up our areas, but government is not providing us with the necessary support, and they're not telling us, okay, fine, you know what, we'll get you into witness protection. We'll see what it is that we can do to fix the situation. There's corruption within SAP that we are aware of. We are aware of the fact that there's been letters written and there's been posts. There has been camps, private police stations. There's been so many things that we have done in order for us to draw attention to the plight of the people in these communities. But government has done very little. You have SAPs and anti-gang units and all of these people coming into our community, and in many instances, community members are saying, but they come into my house, but they have the wrong address. They're supposed to be across the street. They're supposed to be next door. So there's all of this that is creating an animosity between SAPS and the community, because SAPS is really not working on ensuring that they are arresting perpetrators. And then, of course, when we come to our National Prosecuting Authority, they are not ensuring that SAPS give them the necessary information for prosecutions to happen.
Was it last year, about 12 months ago, you as a community were up in arms about how that police station is coordinating efforts with yourselves? You didn't feel supported by that. And then there was change of leadership. One thought with that change of leadership, things were going to change. What went wrong there?
Well, you know, it is very difficult to have change of leadership coming into your police station, into an environment where there have always been stakeholders that have worked hand in hand with your South African police services. The unfortunate thing is, it was a case of a station commander coming in from a historically disadvantaged community as well, and then coming in and feeling that it was not necessary for him to engage with the community. It wasn't necessary for him to have some sort of relationship with his community. It was a case of peace, but also not realizing that all of your information and all of your intel you are getting from your community. So that relationship in itself has been very, very rocky. The station commander is not very keen on relationships and ensuring that he understands what's happening on the ground. So it's a bit of a touchy subject, because the station commander is not one to engage with the community.
So let's talk about the people that have been targeted. Just last week, we were speaking about an activist that we have spoken to many, many times before here on the show, someone who was quite instrumental in getting to organize people in the community for good, for the better. Today, we're speaking about a pharmacy owner. The people that are on the hit list, what makes them targets?
Can I give you my personal opinion? And this is not in any way a reflection of what anyone else thinks. But I honestly think that right now we are at a point where our leaders within our community are being obliterated. People that have made good on their lives, people who have been in support of our communities, are being taken from us, because there shouldn't be any example. There shouldn't be people that they can actually look up to who's made good of their lives in our communities. And I think that in itself is the problem that we have here. There is not proper investigation when it comes to these murders. Earlier in this year, a man was shot and killed. And when the family went to SAPS, allegedly they were told that this person was not a member of the Varadors, and he wasn't a member of the FARS gangs, and he wasn't selling drugs, so why should they bother with his murder? You know, those are the kinds of things that we are dealing with. So ultimately, our people are being killed because they are being exemplary. And to be honest, I don't know if it is from a community perspective, where the people in there are saying, we only need people to sell drugs because we need to perpetuate the stigma that is attached to the colored nation, or if it is a more clandestine type of setup where people that are examples in our community are being taken out because we should only be known for our criminal activity and nothing else.
And so for someone like you, you're an activist. What does this mean for you?
It means opening my mouth at any given point in time could cost me my life. It means that I can be targeted with the besmirching of my character, or it means that someone could actually go out there and try and kill me. But honestly speaking, at this point, we have lost so much potential. We have lost so much potential in our communities at this point, because we don't know what could have become of these young 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 21-year-old lives. We don't know how they would have impacted on us. So ultimately, what we are saying is that these children are making these sacrifices. And so if they are making that sacrifice, I too, as a 48-year-old, can be making the exact same sacrifice, because I believe in my community. I believe in the people that I've served over the last 13 years. And I honestly believe that we are at a point where we need to start changing the narrative, changing the stereotypes that we are cast in. So for me, it's all about changing it. It's about bringing about positivity in a community that has lost all hope. My community is on life support. El Dorado Park, Westbury, all of these communities are on life support. We have drug dealers and crime at one end, and then we have the government at the other end, who are doing absolutely nothing for us. So it is really, really difficult for us to be positive and to reinforce positivity in the lives of our youth if we are constantly in the struggle when it comes to who do we turn to and where do we go.
Are you going to be in that meeting on Wednesday when the police commissioner is coming through?
I'm definitely going to be in that meeting. The only problem is they're probably going to, like, you know, try and keep me as quiet as possible and not have to deal with me because I've been known to be a bit of a big mouth. But that it doesn't stop at that meeting. Colored Lives Matter is a movement that has been started by myself and a few other people in El Dorado Park, Westbury, and all colored communities. And we are saying that our lives matter too, and it's time that we take back our communities. And whether we have to bring in our own neighborhood watches or we have to bring in our own form of keeping ourselves and our families safe, we will do so. But apart from that, we have also said that government is not helping us and we are going to march. Well, not even march. We are going to go to the American embassy and say to them, please, we beg, please, will you speak to our government so they can address the issues that we are faced with? Because we have done all of the necessary. We have done the workshops. We have done the letters. We have had presidents here, and nothing has happened, and nothing has changed. Please, maybe you as a superpower can maybe speak to our government to address the challenges that we face, and we can maybe fix that, some of the things that way.
Why specifically the American government?
Well, you know, the American government has always been known to be a superpower. They go into areas where there's unrest and there's challenges. And we just feel also that, you know, as that we need to speak to someone. We've approached the United Nations. We have approached a couple of other embassies that are on our soil, that are on South African soil, and they're saying to them, please, can you assist us? Can you come in and possibly maybe speak on our behalf because our voices at this point are not being heard?
Thanks so much for your time. Therese Pretorius is an El Dorado Park community activist. As you can hear, she says her community is on life support. That meeting will be happening on Wednesday with the police commissioner, Gauteng Police Commissioner, as well as the residents of Westbury, the residents of El Dorado Park, Nuclear, and so on. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens after that meeting.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.